This podcast brought to you by Hope 103.2.
Do you remember where you were when you got the news that lockdown was going to happen? Chris Llewellyn is the lead singer of worship band Wren Collective, and for them, they were in the midst of their first official world tour. We caught up to talk about their new album, Choose to Worship, and a little of what Chris has learned during this downtime, but also how it felt in that moment to find out that the entire tour would be cancelled.
Basically, we found out that the tour was going to end like 2 hours before our last show, or what turned out to be our last show. So it was kind of a weird thing. We had just got back from Australia and New Zealand, and literally it was week one of the US portion of the tour. And so we had paid for all this stuff that was supposed to last, you know, that was supposed to be like our confetti cannons for the year and our buses for the year and all of that. And then, yeah, we got to use them for a few days and then head back home. It was a crazy time. I remember us just kind of picking up the pieces on the bus, kind of talking through, well, what are we going to do, you know, financially, everything? And I remember us just kind of saying, well, we haven't got any answers to any of those questions, but we can definitely still keep worshipping. And so we all met in my bassist's living room and just got out an acoustic guitar and worshiped together. It was kind of a sweet time of worship that kind of became this thing called Socially Distant Worship Club that we've been doing ever since. Mm. It's just a blessing to still be here and still be able to make an impact, even though we can't tour, and even though maybe the music industry side of things is kind of a little bit hurting right now. The ministry is still going all guns blazing, so we can focus our attention on that for a little while.
Yeah, and I do feel quietly grateful that we got to be one of the last shows of your 2020 so far, because yeah. I mean, it was so great having you guys, but you talk about the ability for worship and for ministry to still continue, which I think a lot of church communities are learning in a new way, in a deeper way in this kind of season. Right. Your Socially Distant Worship Club has been phenomenal, the kind of reach it's had and the lean in from people. What has it been like for you being able to help people understand what worship means in this kind of time where everything is stripped away?
Well, it's a really beautiful privilege for sure. I mean, we actually, without really knowing obviously what was going to happen in the world, we titled our record Choose to Worship. And the whole thing is sort of about the idea of in the middle of difficult circumstances, still saying that God is good, even when life isn't good. And that being the theme of the record has now almost kind of forced our hand. Now we have to live it out. I guess in some ways there's a sense in which it's a real privilege to carry even a heavy message like that. Because it is an important thing for us to learn how to worship authentically in the middle of struggle. Because if we don't work out how to do that, we're going to miss, like, 98% of our lives is hard in some way. The mountaintop moments are few and far between. And so this is where worship happens. It might be a hard reality for us to accept, but worship happens in the middle of real life, and it happens in the middle of the mess. And so we have a mess to work with right now.
I loved how you described 2020 as a kidnapper. I was like, that is so true. It has literally kidnapped everybody's lives in some way.
That's it.
Able to worship when things are tough. Not everybody is kind of good at that. We're not all rehearsed at having to worship in that way that this year is kind of forcing us to. How do you pick yourself up and focus on the goodness of God and worship when things really are challenging?
You know, honestly, I don't know if I'm an expert at that, but what I would say is that starting is the key. Just letting even what might not necessarily be your own words, but taking the words of scripture that say that God is good and that his love endures forever, even beginning to speak and sing that out, even before you necessarily believe it, or even when you don't necessarily feel it, there's something healing happens in that place. You actually even notice that in the Psalms. A lot of them are Psalms of lament, so Psalms that talk about struggles in very real ways. And what the psalmists often do in those Psalms of lament is they have their own original portion, which is the complaint, And then they borrow bits and pieces of other people's work. And they say stuff that you've heard before, like God is good and his love endures forever. Even in the middle of their own laments, they start to rely on other words of scripture that are a little bit more hopeful. And I think that's what we need to do in the middle of our laments too, is just start to lean on even the words of scripture. If we don't have anything nice to say, we can still find it in the scripture. We can find it in the hymns. I think that's sometimes a good entryway.
It's such good advice, because there's so much heaviness around us. So finding those moments of encouragement and those moments of truth in the middle can really make a right. huge difference. And we know you're a thinker from everything that you share on Instagram, yeah. obviously from the lyrics of your songs as well.
I'm a sharer for sure.
See, this is good. This is, you know, we love it. But what's really been on your mind? What are you thinking about and what are you learning over these last few months, particularly, do you think?
I think a couple of things. One of them is that idea of lament and really realizing that the church is so under-resourced when it comes to singing through difficult times. It's actually kind of alarming how many songs we have that only really make sense if you've got either no problems or really easy problems for God to just like knock over. Yeah. But we don't really have that many songs in the church for times when we're experiencing sustained difficulty. And so that's been something that for sure I've been thinking a lot about. The other thing that I think maybe most of us have encountered is just what a difficult landscape social media actually is in this moment. It's crazy just how volatile it is. And one of the things that I guess I've been trying to work out is how do you be a Christian digitally right now whenever they're what do we do as Christians to be a light within that whole world? It's definitely something that's very important, especially when a lot of our lives is actually being lived digitally right now. We've got to work out how to be salt and light in that space.
And you guys are a band that have such an identity of fun and energy. So how have you kind of kept that and found moments of fun in what has been a really challenging time? What are you doing to kind of keep that side of yourself going?
You know, I think the thing about Irish people, maybe just the thing about people in general, is that humor is an amazing coping mechanism. So actually, like, for an Irish person to really have a laugh, like, we need to be a little bit miserable at the same time. I don't know how to explain that relationship, but we're actually at our utmost happiest when we're a little bit grumpy. So these circumstances don't really crush it out. But also, I would say that, you know, these circumstances have forced our hand to spend time with our families, to spend time indoors, to be a little bit quiet, and to have a Sabbath. And like, I understand, obviously, there are many, many difficulties, but at the same time, if you can't on some level enjoy that Sabbath, there's something broken if we can only be happy when we're working ourselves to the bone and when we're in the rush of everything. If we can't appreciate that stillness for what it is and enjoy it, I think there's trouble ahead in that path. And so I would say some of the fun and some of the celebration has actually risen, not just in spite of our circumstances, but because of it. We're together and just growing in appreciation, I guess.
Yeah, my confession is that I've taken up cross stitch, which I don't know if I should share, because it's quite I feel like a grandma, but it's been great. And the meat.
You know, that's amazing. You know, everybody has their own little secret quarantine persona that comes out. Yeah, I can't remember what I got into, but I got into something really weird at the start too.
It'll be covered from whatever it was. It was right back at the
yes,
beginning.
No, it was temporary for me, but
cross stitch might be permanent for me. That's the sad
reality. It's a lifestyle. Yeah, there you go.
100%. But with that, with I Choose to Worship, you've brought together such a great collection of songs, unwittingly perfect for this time. So what would your message be to people who are going to have a listen and take something away from it? And with that, actually, I'd love to ask as we wrap up how you think this season is going to actually affect the church and change it perhaps in the long term.
Sure. Yeah. Well, as far as like a kind of message of encouragement, the one that I've been speaking over myself is probably the one that I would bring, which is that there's nothing that's too negative for God to not want to hear it. Our struggles and our imperfections and our difficulties and even kind of our anger and frustration are things that we can absolutely bring to him. The Psalms are this record of like God interacting in the middle of our struggles, in the middle of our difficulties, even when we're kind of rude or abrasive with him. And he still accepts those things as worship. And so in this season, I would say, don't be afraid to say anything to God that you wouldn't, that you would say to your therapist. He's definitely better than your therapist. And so I find that there's a lot of hope in that, that I can be really authentic with God and that he'll never turn me away. The beautiful thing I think about struggle is what it does in terms of our formation. It does always shape us. It always leaves its mark. And so what I would say is that the church will definitely not be the same. And I believe that the scripture says that God will build his church and that the gates of hell won't stand against it. So I believe that we're stepping forward into a brighter future, not a worse one. Even we're beginning to see now the church is beginning to have such a huge impact digitally. You know, people are actually coming to Jesus online in ways that we would just never have thought of in 2019. And so God is building his church. We can always count on that.
Thanks for listening. Start your day with Life Words. Subscribe to Hope 1032's free daily email devotional at hope1032.com.au.